It's time for Show Me the Franchise.
With Thomas and Frederick. With Thomas and Frederick.
It's time for Show Me the Franchise.
With Thomas and Frederick. With Thomas and Frederick.
Welcome to Show Me the Franchise, the podcast that talks about franchises of all shapes, sizes, backgrounds, genres, and types. I am one of your hosts, Tom Stadler, here as usual with my fellow host, the Coke captain of the Coca-Cola kingdom.
Wow!
I think I've got rhymes in my head. I really like the alliteration. Mr. Fred Dakin.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man, that onomatopoeia was like real good. That was like Michael, what's that guy
Winslow?
From? Yeah, Winslow.
Is that the right one? Yeah,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. His stand-up is crazy. You ever watch any of it?
Is he like, you ever walk by something and hear this noise? Woo, woo, woo. And you're like, that does sound like that.
It does. It does. It actually is very much like that until he's at the end and he's like, I went to a Led Zeppelin concert and he's just kind of like... Doing a decent impression.
That. Yeah. Where he's like doing like the guitars and stuff. And like, oh yeah.
Fred, good to be back again this week. I know we've been a little intermittent with our episodes. We're just getting back on our feet. We mentioned that the last time. And we're going to be continuing to bring out some more content here. We're preloading a lot because a lot of stuff coming up, some little bit of like personal time off. You guys might not even notice though, because it'll just be like, ah, here's another episode. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one's gonna be a fun one this week, Fred, because as you so eloquently used your your very talented noise impersonations to simulate a Coke.
Yes. I just wanted to give the world a Coke.
Oh, you wanted to, or do you want to give the world a Coke or buy the world a Coke?
Oh, whatever, man.
We might be
just
talking about
that. Just take the fucking soda.
Yeah. We'll take the soda. It's Coca-Cola this week is our topic. And Coca-Cola, I mean, is about as household a name as anything. I mean, and from the South, which I know you've lived in, Fred.
Oh.
And I wanted to ask you about this as we get into your history with Coca-Cola, which you can probably just jump in. I mean, it's called a Coke down in some parts, right?
It is. And, you know, there is kind of a war raging in between, you know, my soul, because I'm from the Northeast originally, and I'm pretty sure Pepsi is Pennsylvania, up north area in that way. So I have the Pepsi in me and I have the Coke in me.
Oh, okay.
But the formative years were Coke years.
I see. So I'm sorry. I wasn't clear about my question, though, too. So, like, in Wisconsin, a lot of people call it soda, and not just like Coca-Cola. It's just anything is a soda.
Yeah, you want a soda, yeah.
Right? And like parts of Minnesota and otherwise, it's pop.
Ugh, but
in,
the worst.
In the South, people go, I want a Coke. And then the waitress or waiter will ask you, what kind?
Or just they just start out, what kind of Coke do you want?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just assuming that like you want a soda. Because Coke is just like Kleenex down there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's where it's from and they're proud of it. They have a museum down there that I've gone to a couple times.
Ooh.
Yeah, best part is trying all the different Cokes from all around the world. Oh, most of them taste a little different, but that's the fun part.
Ooh. I mean, I love that idea. I've heard a lot of people who've tried like tastes of Coke from all over the world and it's just like, it sounds crazy. Do you remember like what was the craziest flavor you tried?
I don't remember the crazy ones because a lot of them would have like the language of the country written out. You know, it'd be like kind of foreign writing and it would just be like the red font. And you're like, all right, I'm going to try this. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
The one thing that I remember most is they had a soda that I had never seen anywhere else. And it was cherry cream soda by Barks.
Whoa.
And it was delicious because, you know, Barks is kind of like it's a very interesting root beer. I think it may not be my favorite, but it's definitely doing something a little different.
Yeah.
This cherry cream soda from Barks was so good. And I only had it at the museum. And I just remember anytime, like I think I went there three times. I was like, I got to get some of that. Just leaving the tasting room with like the worst stomach ache because you want to try it all.
Right. And we'll be sampling a few things today here, Fred. Of course, this is going to be a a live tasting episode, not like our food tournament episodes where we are doing blind tastings or like trying to pick our favorites. I think this is just kind of like, hey, we got to try some different stuff that Coca-Cola has to offer because it lends itself very well to a podcast episode.
Definitely. And for me, we were coming into the holidays and we kind of, I think in our early episodes, we burnt a lot of ground on what a holiday episode could be because I think we did a lot of like top songs, top movies. And I was like, oh, what are we going to talk about? And I didn't really want to talk specifically holiday stuff. So I was like, well, one of my favorite things that's kind of holiday adjacent are some of the Coca-Cola ads and stuff that come out around the holidays, the Santa Clauses and stuff. So I thought this would be an interesting thing to talk about because around the holidays, I don't drink like a regular Coke often, but sure, around the holidays, I find myself grabbing that pack of mini sixes of the Cokes, you know, because it just kind of gets me in the holiday spirit.
Yeah. And I get that, though, too. I mean, when you see an ad of Santa Claus popping a Coke, like, and he gets the from the old Coke machines that don't exist anymore where they have like the pop top on it, like, and it's like, what? Where does he get all this from? Like, it's like a Back to the Future when Marty can't open the bottle and his dad's like, no, you got to use the bottle opener on the machine.
I'm right.
Like, this machine doesn't exist anymore. Where are you going to have that at? But yeah, it's a great, great flavor. I'm not a big Coke drinker. Like, I'm not a big soda drinker in general. Right.
We're in our late 30s, mid to late 30s, you know? It's not what it used to be with the soda drinking.
No. But I even feel like growing up, though, I was always a white soda kid.
A white soda kid.
I know. It kind of goes very much with just my bland personality. I loved like a Sprite or a 7-Up.
What, do you have a cold?
Yeah, no. It just it makes your tummy feel better if you've been eating a lot or you're not feeling well.
I'm not a big Sprite guy, but I do have times where I'm like, Sprite's hitting. Mm. But I do appreciate a good ginger ale.
Oh, yeah. Ginger ale is, I mean, this is a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other podcast.
I mean, it is, because ginger ale is a top tier soda, in my opinion, especially on a flight. But a Coke, every now and again, especially when you're at the theater and you're like, ooh, cherry Coke, get down with that.
Something about cherry Coke at a theater is just so on point.
Yeah. I mean, even wild cherry Pepsi kind of hits.
Yeah, too. I'm fine with a wild cherry Pepsi. Throwing that wild in there really does a lot for me.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same end, I think it's just the idea that you don't necessarily just have a regular Coca-Cola. And I can't even tell you the last time I had like a Coke on its own without like booze in it. Like, cause that was my big drink in college was rum and Coke when I first really been able to like order drinks at a bar. And I remember my buddy and I would always go places and we got to get some Captain and Coke. And like, that's our thing. And then it became Sailor Jerry and Coke, but it was always Coke. Yeah. So yeah, that's why my body in college started rebelling against me because I did not treat it well.
Yeah, I don't order. That's another thing I don't order often, but every once in a while I'm like, whiskey Coke. That sounds kind of nice. The caramels from the bourbon or the whiskey, the caramels from the Coca-Cola going together. Same deal with the spiced rum.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Coca-Cola of mixed drinks is like getting like a rum and Coke or a whiskey Coke.
I mean, a whiskey Coke, I think. Don't they even have like a... Is it Jack Daniels that has
seen that? Like, I've always been curious about that, how it's just like in a can and it's already Jack and Coke.
I think there is. Yeah, let me look that up. I'm pretty sure it is sponsored by Jack Daniels.
Interchange. What are you doing with your cantina these days? Let's get some Jack and Coke cans.
Yep. Definitely have Jack Daniels Tennessee Whiskey Coca-Cola.
I'd be curious to try. I want to know what the APV on that bad boy is, though.
I will tell you right now.
It's got to be at least 6 or else it's just going to...
They got it at your local Target. Not the Target that's nearby us. Not the docs, Fred and I. But our nearby Target does not carry... does not carry alcohol.
You got to go down to Burt's.
For good reason, yeah. Yeah, you got to go to the creek or you got to go to, I don't know, over by the airport or...
Johnson Creek?
Not Johnson. The Oak Creek.
Oh.
Let's see. The ABV I'm seeing on this what's your guess?
My guess is like 6 or 6.5 is what I want it to be. I don't want it to be 4.
7%.
And that's what you want, because you want one of those.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want it to be like a 4.5, because that's like when it's just going to be pure sugar. I feel you need that balance.
It's true. I think you do. And you want, because you don't want it to be too much liquor, but you don't want it to be like, is there liquor in this?
Mm-hmm. Like when I don't want a stiff whiskey Coke. Mm-hmm. I want a whiskey Coke where the Coke and the whiskey meet each other in that beautiful place.
Oh, yeah.
Versus like, you know, like you can make me a stiff old fashioned. You can make me a stiff Manhattan. Yeah. But like when it comes, you do the soda, there's kind of like a nice little equation that makes a matching of flavors that's really nice.
I mean, and it's a whole rabbit hole to go down. But I do think as you grow, especially now that we are, like as you've said, in our mid to late 30s, you start to want more of the well-made cocktails. You will have mm-hmm. more appreciation. You're not going somewhere just for cheap drinks just to get drunk, right? It's like if you go to a bar and you order something, you're like, it's like, okay, if it's a little stiffer, hey, that's okay. But like you want to see, hey, how can you make this be a good tasting drink where you know you're going to maybe not just plow through it?
How can you highlight the alcohol without it being like intense?
Great way to put it. Great way to put mm-hmm. it. I mean, and I think this kind of goes back to what makes Coca-Cola such a classic product, right? Is the fact that it is a go-to mixer. Like, and you know that somebody was probably pushing this from Coke, like corporate at some point, like, hey, we need to get bars to push Coke over like Pepsi or anything. Cause you don't have anybody ordering Pepsi whiskey or Pepsi right. rum, right? Like that stuff. I think I've tried it and I don't feel like it tastes the same.
No, I don't know if I've ever like on purpose ordered a Pepsi mixed drink.
It's, I think when we didn't have other options, that was a choice and it was a bad choice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that's, it's just something though that speaks to Coca-Cola and its history is that it's kind of been a staple where people can reach for it for many different reasons, many different flavors. It comes in so many different varieties. And you mentioned it, it's almost like synonymous with Christmas now because of the imagery of Santa that's associated with Coke around the holidays. So you have like a red can. It's almost like the Starbucks red cup, right?
Right.
It's like, you're like, oh yeah, that says Christmas to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, why do you think Coca-Cola has resonated over something like Pepsi?
I think that it has a pretty lucky history of people behind the scenes that were very marketing savvy. If mm-hmm. you go through the history of Coca-Cola, there was always someone in the pocket who was thinking how to market this product different from other products.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest deal about, like, we talked a little bit about the Buy the World of Coke, how, like, that was initially established by them back in the day, just bringing Coke around to everyone because they knew if someone had it, they would probably want to have it again, you know, because this was an alternative to the classic fountain soda.
Right.
So I really think it's marketing, marketing, marketing. That's the only reason. Other than just my enjoyment of Coke, why I want to talk about it, you know, I think we can mention as a company, Coca-Cola, not great people, but I do think that they're an interesting study when it comes to their excellent marketing.
Yes, I think it's a really good point. Other than some recent marketing, which they are getting a lot of flack
which, for. Which this is like the podcast curse. This is kind of like when Jimmy Buffett died. I was like, let's do Coca-Cola. And I feel within a week they put out this god-awful AI ad.
Yeah.
Which I got to say, I was like, yeah, it looks like shit. But also I'm fucking with it because it is Santa Claus. There's a Christmas train. There's yeah. snow. There's polar bears. I'm like, even AI, this looks pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they basically just put like Tom Hanks movies into a little like funnel.
In. Right.
Like, how do we make an ad? Fred, you talked a little bit about the history. We should dive into some history of Coca-Cola because it involved some not good people. It had some very shady tactics along the way. The history of Coca-Cola, I don't know how many people are familiar with this, but it is a wild ride, and we are excited to take you down this train. Fred, feel free to jump in, because I know you have been in the museum, you've watched documentaries on this, so please elaborate where you feel needed.
Definitely.
So, starting with bad people, Confederate Colonel John Pemberton, who was wounded in the American Civil War and addicted to morphine, also had a medical degree and began his quest to find a substitute for morphine, which led him to creating his own drugstore, which is Pemberton's Eagle Drug and Chemical House, which was down in Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, my stars.
You've been, so is Columbus, Georgia where the museum is?
No, it's in Atlanta.
It is in Atlanta.
I don't know if I've been to Columbus.
Mm, well, that's where Coca-Cola started.
I should have just gone there, picked up some dirt from the ground, rubbed it in my fingers. Like I'm Paul Mescal.
The gladiator himself. So he registered Pemberton's French wine, Coca Nerve Tonic, was the official first name of Coca-Cola. So researchers theorize it may have been inspired by the success of a drink called Vin Mariani, which was a French Corsican, I believe, or Corsican Coca wine, which had combined both caffeine, hence cola. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Coca. And then you had the African cola nut, which is where you get cola from. So the Spanish drink that inspired that was called Cola Coca and was presented at a contest in Philadelphia back in 1885, which was a year before the official birth of Coca-Cola. And the rights for the Spanish drink were bought officially by Coca-Cola Company in 1953. So they own the rights to the name in the drink, Cola Coca.
Wow.
Yeah. Cola being spelled with a K.
Yes.
For the cola nut.
For the person who's out there who's a big fan of cola, the cola nut.
Yeah. The cola. So in 1886, when Atlanta and Fulton County passed the prohibition legislation, so they were about 40 years ahead of the rest of the country, Pemberton responded by developing Coca-Cola, a non-alcoholic version of Pemberton's French wine Coca. It was marketed as Coca-Cola, the temperance drink, which appealed to many as the temperance movement enjoyed wide support during this time.
Yeah, I know that when he was like concocting and mixing it up, he'd like run it down to like the soda shop and have them like put it into like the machine where they had all the like carbonated water to like test it out and like try it. So he's like sending out samples of him trying to figure out the Coca-Cola.
Oh my God. It's like guerrilla marketing, like way early in the days.
Boy, take this down there. We need to try this.
I am kind of nostalgic for the old soda shops. Like, you know, we watch It's a Wonderful Life every year, and that's like where George Bailey works when he's a kid, right? He's like a soda jerk at the soda shop. And I'm just like, man, this place looks cool as hell. Just like a bar for like soda. Like
definitely. And they had like chocolate soda. That's what people were drinking.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like, though, it was a treat back in the day, right? You go to the ice cream shop now, it's like you're not going to get, I mean, you'll get soda, but it's like, not on like a tap or anything like that.
Right. They're not like mixing the syrup fresh with the carbonation, which I don't know if is better than whatever the process is now. But I was watching like the old clips of them like spraying the carbonated water into there, pouring the Coca-Cola syrup and stirring it up. And I thought that looked nice.
Yeah. I mean, and you think about it, like soda machines now still kind of use that a little bit, right? Because it's like you have to, but
it's kind of doing it at the same time, right? That's what it looks like from us working at Jimmy John's. That's what I'm like, I'm picturing.
That was exactly what I thought.
If you like stick it under there, you can kind of see water and a little bit of thickness at the same time.
Right. And it kind of makes sense then, too, when you do pour a soda, like when you're at a restaurant or the movie theater or something like that, and you see that stuff all kind of mixed together. But it's probably a less, like, elegant process than it was back in the day. At least you like to think so, right? Who knows?
Who knows? Coca-Cola could have tasted like shit back in the day, you know?
Well, we'll get into what Coca-Cola was. So I know everybody's probably asking the big question right now about the cocaine piece. We're going to get to that, I promise you. Just follow me for the moment.
Easy, Eric Clapton.
It's all right. By 1888, three versions of Coca-Cola sold by three separate businesses were on the market. John Pemberton declared that the name Coca-Cola belonged to his son, Charlie, but the other two manufacturers could continue to use the formula. It was kind of the agreement that they had. So enter, I think his name is Asa Candler. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sounds right.
Yeah. April 14th, 1888, Asa Candler. Here's a guy that everybody's going to love hearing about, too. You're like, this guy wasn't a Confederate colonel. He's got to be on the level, right? And it's like, no, he's your classic shady businessman. Swooping in, trying to... He's like, what's the guy who like bought McDonald's? Ray Guy or something?
Ray Kroc.
Ray Kroc, that's it. Thank you. Ray Guy, I think, was a Hall of Fame punter in the NFL. Uh-huh. But so Asa Candler, along with his group Walker Candler and Company, obtained all of the 1/3 interest in the Coca-Cola company that Charlie Pemberton held, who was the son of John Pemberton, all while Charlie still held on to the actual name Coca-Cola. 3 days after this happened, so it's been April 17th, 1888, one half of the Walker Dozer interest shares were acquired by Candler himself for an additional $750. You could probably do some currency exchange back then. That's probably in the thousands today, or maybe like, you know, hundreds of thousands, but who knows? I mean, $750 was no short change back then.
Right.
Candler himself had gained a better foothold on Coca-Cola, and he nevertheless was forced to sell the beverage that he produced with the recipe he had under the names Yum Yum and Coke. So even though he had the recipe, he had everything under, he still didn't have the name Coca-Cola, which is what people were buying.
But he was onto something.
He was.
Yum Yum Brands.
They didn't have any history in that, but I'm very curious. When John Pemberton died then in August of that same year, 1888, Candler saw an opportunity, moved quickly to acquire all of Coca-Cola, including the name, and closed a deal to acquire the full control of the company on August 30th, 1888. So basically, he took all these like three parts of this whole thing, the naming rights, everything consolidated under one roof to make it Coca-Cola we know today, the Coca-Cola company. Very similar to, if people don't know the history of Milwaukee, Milwaukee was once three different towns or cities that ended up combining to become Milwaukee.
The Bronx.
Yeah.
Red Hook.
The Hell's Kitchen. When launched, Coca-Cola's two key ingredients were, in fact, caffeine and cocaine. Cocaine was derived from the coca leaf and the caffeine from the cola nut. Okay, so I might have had that a little confused before, but that's where it comes from, the cola nut and the coca leaf. So Coca-Cola or Cola-Coca, whatever you want to call it, right?
All the cola nuts can calm down. You got it right.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Fred, you are. You're really cracking me up here. After 1904, instead of using fresh leaves, Coca-Cola started using spent coca leaves, which the leftovers of the cocaine extraction process, with just very trace levels of cocaine. But by 1929, Coca-Cola had used a cocaine-free coca leaf extract. Today, that extract is prepared at the Stepan Company plant in Maywood, New Jersey, the only manufacturing plant in the United States authorized by federal government to import and process coca leaves, which it obtains from Peru and Bolivia. So if you're looking for some cocaine insider, I'm sure that place is heavily guarded.
Jersey?
In Jersey? Yeah. Hmm? I'm sure they got some French down there helping them out, you know? Maybe.
What do you say? Come on, give me some coca leaves.
Hey, you guys got some nice product that you don't know what to do with.
Have you thought about making an effervescent drink?
Maybe something less temperate?
So the way it works is that the Stepan Company extracts cocaine from the coca leaves, which it then sells to Mallinckrodt, the only company in the United States that is licensed to purify cocaine for medicinal use. So that's where the coke goes. It is not, we're not implying it gets sold on the streets, I think. I think it's probably very, very heavily regulated by the federal government, at least for the time being. We'll see what happens in the next 4 years. But the Coca-Cola logo was created by John Pemberton's bookkeeper, Frank Mason Robinson, in 1885.
The man had great penmanship.
He sure did. He came up with the name and chose the logo's distinctive cursive script. The writing style, which was used to be known as the Spencerian script, was developed in the mid-19th century and was the dominant form of formal handwriting in the United States during that period. So a lot of people probably had that similar handwriting, but only Coca-Cola was like, this is our brand.
We're going to slap a brand on that.
Exactly. It is funny, though, too, because you think about, like, even, like, Disney, like, using his signature for, like, his company branding and all that. Like, at the end of the day, there's probably other people who wrote like that. But,
yeah.
You know, but they're the ones who capitalized off of it, right? First bottling of Coca-Cola occurred in Vicksburg, Mississippi at the Biedenharn or Bidenharn. It can't be Biden. It's B-I-E-D-E-N.
Come on, man.
At the Bidenharn Candy Company on March 12th, 1894. I still got too much Clinton in my Biden. Two entrepreneurs from Chattanooga, Tennessee came to Candler with a new idea of how to bottle and were so persuasive that Candler signed a contract giving them control of the procedure for just $1. This is a big deal. Here's why. In 1899, Chattanooga became the site of the first Coca-Cola bottling company. The bottler's decision then to subcontract to other companies effectively became parent bottling company themselves. So the Coca-Cola bottling company became like a tour de force because it was able to outsource this really popular drink and the whole bottling process, but they controlled all the rights to that bottling process. So that was not under Candler's control. So it created a slew of legal issues because that contract specified that bottles would be sold at 5 cents each. So they were, in effect, because they were selling these bottles to Coca-Cola, were saying, our contract states with all of our subcontractors and in the state, in the court of law, bottles of Coke have to be 5 cents. So that was a fixed price for Coca-Cola from 1886 to 1959.
And that was because they created the patent for the design of the bottle, correct?
Correct. Because yeah, it used to be a different model of bottle, and then it got introduced their new bottle type.
Yeah, because I think the big thing behind that is you'd have the bottles in like an ice chest, and they'd have the old school labels, and those would come right off. So they wanted a distinct bottle that you could reach into an ice bucket without looking, feel that contoured shaped bottle, which is supposed to kind of symbolize the guy who worked at that bottling factory who kind of designed it. It's supposed to symbolize the shape of the cola nut. I think that's what he was going after.
That would make a lot of sense, though. I think it would be very, very on brand.
But they're also like, it also looks like a beautiful woman. Like, like all the like old things. Like, it's got the stature of a beautiful lady.
Got the slender neck and the big base. But I think it's what just really is getting in my head. I mean, think about right now, and everyone can think about this too, right? Inflation's been such a big deal recently, right? Everyone's like, oh, the price of eggs compared to what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and what it is now. So basically, Coke bottles didn't increase in price for 60, 70 years. Like, that's pretty freaking nuts. Like, you're at some point, you're going to be losing money, it feels like, unless you were selling a ton of Coke, which they were selling a ton of Coke, right? But eventually they did go to court and were able to increase the price on bottles of Coke. But yeah, you make sense then. In 1955, when Marty goes back, it's like everybody's drinking Coca-Cola, right? Cheap.
Yeah, it was a big thing during the Depression that it was something that you could have for like 5 cents. Most people, you know, in decent conditions can afford to do that every so often. So it was a way to be social at a cheaper price than alcohol, especially if you're looking at the prohibition time. You can't even drink alcohol.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a fascinating like staple or just sort of like this anchor in American history where it's like, yeah, it's like we talked about it. It's the branding. But yeah, when you have affordable drinks that people can share and it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. Especially at a time when people were at their hardest. Right. Yeah. So getting to the holiday part of all here. Although the company did start using the red and white Santa Claus image in the 1930s with its winter advertising campaigns, the motif was already common in many places of advertising.
Because he's a real person.
Obviously, he's real. And we're never going to dissuade that in case anybody's got this on their loudspeaker. But it debunked the common myth that Coca-Cola invented the modern image of Santa Claus. Which was, I think a lot of people thought is true.
Yeah. I just, you know, assume that they had pictures so they knew what he looked like, you know.
They get sent, he like just sent, did a photo shoot up at the North Pole.
Yeah.
Mrs. Claus caught my good side here. 1941 saw the first use of the nickname Coke as an official trademark for the product with a series of advertising informing consumers that Coke means Coca-Cola. During the 1950s, the term Cola Wars emerged, describing the ongoing battle between Coca-Cola and the Pepsi Company for supremacy in the soft drink industry. Coca-Cola and Pepsi were competing with new products, global expansion, U.S. marketing initiatives, and sports sponsorships, which you still see today, where it's a big deal when you have like Culver's restaurants switching from Coke products to Pepsi products, right? Mm-hmm. Or, right, it was that, not the other
one. I think one, huh? Now it's the other. I think they have Coke products now. Or is it they have Pepsi? I thought they have Coke now.
Mm.
You can look that up. I'll speak on that. Yeah, it was Pepsi kind of was running with the idea that Coke had a reputation for being very white. Mm-hmm. Their workers were white. And they didn't want, you know, they didn't hire, you know, African-Americans. They didn't really have an African-American workforce that they were employing. Pepsi wanted to be the flip side of that, be the taste of a new generation, and really tried to latch onto the civil rights movement. And that kind of gave them a boost and actually gave them good sales during that kind of time. So they were actually competitive with Coca-Cola.
That makes a lot of sense, though. And I think that's kind of seen through the years, too, because I feel like Pepsi has always had a predominantly like black spokespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Jackson had his Pepsi ad in the 90s or the 80s. That one that his hair got set on fire for. Presumably started a chain reaction of plastic surgery and a lot of nonsense that probably drove him crazy. But
Pepsi, that was the target there. That's what started it all.
Yeah.
Everything. I blame Pepsi for everything that happened with Michael Jackson.
Oh boy. Well, that's another podcast.
The Michael Jackson deep dive.
Well, maybe we need to learn some more information before we dive on
that. You gotta wait for this biopic to come out.
Man, that's gonna be something. Sugar prices spiked in the 1970s because of Soviet demand and hoarding and the possible future contracts of market manipulation by the Soviet Union. They were the largest producer of sugar at the time. So in 1974, Coca-Cola switched over to high fructose corn syrup because of the elevated prices of importing sugar. Real sugar can still be found, though, in bottles of Coke in other countries, including Mexico, just to the south. And I feel like, especially in recent years, Mexican Coke has seemingly become more readily available.
Oh, yeah. You can get it at most grocery stores everywhere. You can get a bottle. It'd be cool if you get like a 4-pack.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've seen that. It's always just the individual. But I do have great memories of going to Mexico and, you know, everyone, all the adults are having cocktails, having cervezas, whatever, on the beach. What you drink there when you're a little kid is a bottle of Coke. Mm. And it was just great. I remember sitting at a bar where the seats were swings right on the beach, just having a glass bottle of Coke. And I was like, I think this is as good as it gets.
Mm.
And I was like 10.
It does sound like a childhood dream to just be on like a warm beach drinking a cold Coke.
Mm-hmm. The seats a swing.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, look, I know I've had people, we've drinking it before. I think you can taste the difference, though.
Oh, you can taste the difference. I like it, but I find it heavier.
It is. It is a little heavier. 1971 saw the introduction then, speaking of marketing campaigns and continuing to evolve with the times, of I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke ad, which is one of the most famous ads of all time, not even just then. Produced by Don Draper. I'm sorry, Billy Davis. That's a potential spoiler, actually, for the end of Mad Men. Mm-hmm. But the song actually became a number one single in the United States. If nobody's actually heard this song, I've actually got it teed up.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Bye.
going to read the end copy for the credits here. On the ad itself, on a hilltop in Italy, Coke assembled young people from all over the world to bring you this message from Coca-Cola bottlers all over the world. It's the real thing. Which, I mean, if you look at the ad and you watch the ad, there are legitimately people from all over the world that are on this hilltop in Italy singing this song in unison.
Sounds like a bunch of hippies to me.
And they are dressed like hippies. I mean, they all look.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that's what it sounded like to me.
I mean, it's kind of surprising that it's 1971. When you do see their garb, you're like, whoa. I mean, I would encourage everybody to look up the ad. And I think for educational purposes, mm-hmm. it's interesting to hear the song and just like, because I mean, it's, I think that's a phrase that's stuck with Coke forever now. It's the real thing, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know that Coca-Cola is going to sue us for playing an ad on here. You know, they're like, hey, yeah, get people.
Who knows? This might shut down the whole podcast.
It might be over after this. You're right. Well, we can always get Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a cold drink. Mmm. Mm,
that's what a Pilsner should taste like. You can't laugh when I say that.
I know, but I'll cut it. I'll cut it for time. Coke ads, though, are quite the staple. And I think you mentioned it right at the top of this podcast, Fred. The marketing initiatives for Coke have been, I mean, really second only to, I don't know, maybe McDonald's. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if McDonald's has that good of a game as
Coke. I mean, it's probably the best commercials with Bears. I'd put it above the Charmin Bears for sure. I love the little baby bear. He gets lost usually or something. He rolls down a hill, can't find his parents. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I don't know, a reindeer shows up with Santa and gives him a Coke, and then he's happy, like something like that. Like, I think they're all kind of like that.
I think the thought, it's just like, yeah. I think there is a commercial where that happens. There's also one where, like, the mama bear, like, finds her cubs, like, on the ice and cracks like a little like Coca-Cola and is just drinking it. It's like, whoa, now that's good. Mm-hmm. I will say those commercials do feel cozy.
Ah, yeah, ultimate cozy. There's a room, or at least there was when I went there at the museum, where you know how at museums they'll have like those little alcoves mm-hmm. with the seats and you can watch like a video in a dark room. Mm-hmm. They just had a room where they're just playing all these ads.
Oh, man.
And it was just nice to sit and watch all those holiday ones.
They are. I mean, they are just, they have that cozy feeling. You feel like, you know, it's like, ah, home for the holidays. I got a Coke in my hand.
And I feel it's like the very much you mentioned the Tom Hanks Christmas, but it is the Polar Express vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Before Polar Express. And like
down to being polar bears.
Exactly. And like, I think if they would have just hired some of the animators from those original Coca-Cola ads to make the Polar Express, you'd have a much better looking Polar Express.
Yeah, but if you watch those polar bear ads for Coca-Cola now, it's not great.
At least they're not like spooky.
Yeah, I mean, Polar Express does, it's the dead eyes,
right? Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind like old animation if it's fun. Like, there's just weird faces in Polar Express.
It is. And I had to correct myself though too. I was like, McDonald's, they sell Coca-Cola products, right? Like, that's...
Well, you can't really even talk about, like, the types of Coca-Cola without even talking about McDonald's Coke. Because right? That's, like, a whole thing. It's the canisters everyone talks about. Mm-hmm. You know, they have these special stainless steel canisters that they keep the Coke in. That's why a Coke tastes so different from McDonald's versus other places when you get a fountain soda.
It does taste pretty dang good from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. It is the place to get a Coke. I realized I totally forgot to share before, Culver's did switch from Pepsi products to Coca-Cola. So that is the whole hubbub now that people are not a fan of. I guess my thing with Culver's, just a very quick aside, I've always been the root beer guy there. I always get the Culver's root beer, so I've never cared what other products are there.
I would be, usually in the past, I'd be happy because I used to drink soda regularly where I would only drink diet soda. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going to have a soda, I'd rather just say, screw it and have the real thing, you know? Like, I'd rather just have the calories and fully enjoy it and have it less than, like, I used to drink Diet Coke, like, 3 to 5 a day, you know? And, like, that was just what it was. And I would love it if places had Diet Coke back in the day, but now I'm like, I actually don't care as much. I choose Coke over Pepsi 9 times out of 10, but if it's like the Wheeling of Pepsi products and I'm getting a soda, I think I'll be fine. I think I can get Dr. Pepper.
I believe you're correct. I think Dr. Pepper is a Pepsi product. We will get into which products are part of Coca-Cola. Just to wrap up a little bit of the history, because I had to call one thing out. I know we have some Selena fans out there.
We do?
We got some Selena fans. Selena was a spokesperson for Coca-Cola from 1989 until the time of her death. And she filmed three commercials for the company during 1994 to commemorate her 5 years with the company. Coca-Cola issued special Selena Coke bottles. Coke owns many other popular brands, though, Fred. And I think before I start listing off what these all are, I have some samples for us to taste here today.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think maybe this is the time of the episode we do a little bit of ASMR and like hearing some Coke bottle pops and can openings, and you guys can get the real experience back home. And maybe you too will want a Coke. Coca-Cola. It's the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Please. Brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, pay us. We want it, my honey. We'll be your sponsor.
And Tony's. And Tony's Chuck. If you listen, Tony's. Tony's Chocolonies.
I didn't even realize the cool. Anyway, so... So, Fred, I have for you a couple different things. I'll start. Let's start with a baseline, right? We want to have a taste of some mini Cokes that you provided.
Yes, I will say, as someone who wants to dabble in the art of soda occasionally, I really recommend the baby cans. I think it's the perfect amount, because most of the time when I have a full-size can of soda, when I have that back third, I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
This is the perfect size, I think, for a Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And what we're looking at is a 7.5 ounce can of Coke right now. Fred has brought us a couple of them. We're going to give you a little ASMR. Here's the sound of a Coke box.
Hear the bubbles.
Ooh, listen to those bubbles bubble.
What are your initial thoughts, Tom?
I mean, it's a classic. It's a classic can of Coke. I think I'm actually kind of surprised how enjoyable it is.
And I think the little can just gives you that initial sip that you get from a can of soda all the way through.
I think what I'm starting to get like kind of weirded out by, though, now is the idea that these cans of Coke use like literally the same leaves that create cocaine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious what that soda was like. Do you think you got a little more energy from it, or do you think it was just so limited that you weren't even feeling it?
I want to say I've heard over the years, or like from people who've like done more research on it, and what we've learned from it is that it's probably not enough to like give you the same hit as like snorting Coke, right? I think it's very trace amounts, but obviously it's like probably giving you a little bit of a buzz, right? They put it in like a wine and it almost feels like it's like, I don't know, like Four Loko, but like literally like the most extreme version of it.
It knocks you out and keeps you going at the same time.
Right. I mean, who knows though? I mean, you really, the people who would have known are not alive anymore, right? Like,
And I will say, we were mentioning like, you know, your classic mixed drinks, a small 7.5 can with a one airport shot bottle thing is to me like a perfect balance of a cocktail.
That is
something. So if you're like, I'm afraid to do my mix in, you know, you can get little guy, put them together. You've got a little something going on.
I mean, perfect with, yeah, like a little mini Marta hotel though too.
Yeah.
Have yourself a time. Fred, I have a church key, because as a matter of fact, I did get a bottle of Mexican Coke.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like this is the logical next step, because this is still Coca-Cola, but this is obviously a different recipe of Coca-Cola. And you can get this if you live in the Milwaukee area, many of your local grocery stores, including Crappie's down in Bayview, which is a magical place that I had a chance to stop through this week.
You go to Cermak, you can probably get like the Sprite and some of the other more varietals I've seen there. And all the Jarritos too.
Oh yeah, plenty of Jarritos. So I'm handing Fred a glass of some Mexican Coke. He's giving a little sniff test.
Seeing now, even the smell, you can smell the caramel of that sugar more than you can with the... Yeah, get that buzz. Get
the bubbles and the buzz from the bottle.
I know you're going to get a little aluminum smell, but if you smell the can versus you smell this, it is a big difference.
Yeah. Yep. Just a smidge. You can just kind of tell. So...
Yep, a little flatter, but much fuller and heavier, but I like it. I almost kind of think I might be a pour out the bottle guy, and I've never done this.
I mean, I did that obviously for sanitary reasons, but yeah, I think there is something to the fact that it is coming out of the bottle, but I don't know. I'm like trying to have a sip of the can versus drinking a little bit from the cup. Are you mixing it?
No. For the people listening back home, I finished the pour of Mexican Coke and I quickly dumped in some of my can of Coke because I wanted to taste the can of Coke out of an open container versus out of the can.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference.
I would say Mexican Coke has better flavor, more natural flavor, but it doesn't have that effervescence that I am looking for in a soda. I want heavy sweet and I want heavy bubbles.
That's fair. I think if you are looking for a certain type of Coke, then yeah, that's how you can do it. But I would encourage everyone to try a different one if you've never had an opportunity to before. Next on our taste journey, though. So I did move into the next one here, Fred, of, you mentioned it.
Oh,
Mexican Sprite, which I have never tried.
So, I don't know if I've ever had a Mexican Sprite. You know what? I take it back. I had, but I don't remember. I one time was at a gas station getting gas and on like those, you know, they have those big kind of concrete pillars. There was an unopened bottle of Sprite soda and an unopened Mellow Yellow. And I just grabbed them. I was in college. Why not? They were sealed still.
And I'm pouring some Sprite here. But that was a healthier pour than I wanted.
It's all good. We're going to be burping. I might have to stand up just to let the fluid move through me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do a little bit of... And you're hearing some chinking in the background. It's the glass upon the glass. We got two glass bottles, which I do love that aspect, though, of like the Mexican Coke and Mexican Sprite. So Sprite is obviously also a brand. It's Coke's white soda. So if you didn't know that, now you guys know. But I think what I like about Mexican Coke, Mexican Sprite here is it does come in a glass bottle. And I do feel like when you do drink out of a bottle, something a little different than a can. And I do think I prefer glass bottles overall, like a glass bottle of beer.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
What do you think of the Sprite?
Kind of the exact same review of it. But I think it works a little less for me than the Coke does.
Yeah, I think... I almost do want some of the more bubbles with a Sprite now that I'm thinking about it.
Because that's what is exciting about Sprite first is the effervescence, the lemon lime. The sweet is just to bring it home. Whereas the Coke, I want like sweet, dark, amber. That's the color. Amber is the color of your Coca-Cola.
Amber. I was like, wait a minute. I know there's a song you're just recording. yeah, I don't know. I'm with you on that one. I think there's an argument for Mexican Coke being a little bit more of a palate pleaser if you're really looking for that type of Coke. And versus, yeah, the Sprite, I'm kind of like, it is a little flat and I kind of feel like, I don't know that I love it.
Are you going to reach for a Mexican Coke with your garbage burger, though, is the thing.
I think I would.
You really? I feel like I see me having the Mexican Coke by itself, enjoying it, luxuriating in the glass bottle. Whereas, like, if I'm eating, like, going to the movies or eating fast food, I kind of want, like, that bubbly, fountainy.
Here's where I'll say that. Where I will take a regular Coke recipe is probably at, like, McDonald's, right? Like you were just saying, like, a real, you know, garbagey burger where it's like, okay, I'm going to have a Big Mac with regular Coke. Where I would love a Mexican Coke, I think, it's like at a ball game. Give me a hot dog or like, or a brat or something like that. Have that with it. I think that actually would be a really nice pairing.
Hot dog and Mexican Coke is really singing to me.
Yeah, I think that's where you want that because I think that's where you're going to get a little more of like, you don't want it as bubbly because you want to appreciate the hot dog a little bit more, you know?
I like that.
Yeah, so that's my take on it. I'm going to list a couple other Coke brands that people probably don't know about and ones that I don't have here for tasting. You mentioned Barq's. Barq's is the root beer for Coke. Minute Maid, that's their lemonade. Gold Peak, that's their tea, or iced tea, if you will. Powerade versus Gatorade, so that's Coke's version of that.
Dasani. That's their water.
That's their water. Schweppes is their tonic water. And then we have Vitamin Water, which is also owned by Coke.
Try it.
Yeah. And then we get to a couple others that I have for us to taste here. So the next one up is just going to be a standard one. This one's not anything fancy, but it does come in a bottle. A twist top, if you will. It is their orange soda and other flavors that are associated with it. Fanta.
Who loves orange soda? Tom loves orange soda.
Is it true?
I guess.
I do. Ugh, what a callback. But Fanta, oh, man. I remember Fanta just being the thing when that Wanna Fanta commercial came out. And talk about good advertising. That really put them on the map, I think, because before then, nobody was like, oh, yeah, I thought it was Hi-C, like all through the 90s.
I thought it was, God, what was the other fruit one? It had a very intense name.
Oh.
Fruitopia.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
That was the one I thought was going to be the big one. And then Fanta definitely came in swinging. They had a bunch of different flavors. I'm trying to think if I have the choice because I rarely go for the orange, the grapes, and the white sodas for the thing that I kind of want that caffeine bump.
Yeah, which I it's so they claim here, and I'm just reading this from this bottle that I bought. Orange soda naturally flavored. I'm like, sure. Naturally flavored. But it does contain no juice. It is carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup. So this is pretty much like your standard Coke, but with orange soda. It's weird that, yeah, it says less than 2% of citric acid. I don't know. I'm like, is this really? There's an appeal to orange soda because of the flavor. I think that's what you're getting.
And Kenan and Kel.
And Kenan and Kel, right, because Kel loves orange soda. But Fred, why don't you take a taste of that orange soda while I describe a little more about Fanta. Because Fanta obviously does not only come in orange flavor. Then they have grape, they have maybe blue raspberry or something like that. Something random.
That is pretty good.
Is it good? All right, I'm going to take a little taste myself. What were your thoughts, though, overall on it?
It's kind of got almost that orange taste from a dreamsicle.
Mm.
Without the cream. It's just the orange.
Yeah. Which, if you want to talk about a good, like, orange creamy soda, and I can't believe we haven't brought them up here yet, living in Wisconsin as we do, Sprecher soda is a staple here. What makes a very good root beer. They have a nice cherry soda and a really good orange soda. But having not had Fanta in a while, I kind of agree with you. That's kind of refreshing.
That was pretty good, yeah. I think I usually reach for grape, but I'm always surprised by orange.
Mm.
Not that like I've reached for a orange or grape soda in a long time.
Yeah. I can't. It's escaping me, though, what the third flavor of Fanta is. There's like a third special, but I'm like, it's not blue raspberry. That's dumb of me.
It's like a pineapple, isn't it?
I
know that exists, at least.
There's a pineapple Fanta?
There's like a tropical one, at least.
There is. Okay, there is a blue one. I'm sorry. I guess there is a... Well,
there was a while when the Fanta, there was like eight.
Yeah. So here's an eight pack that comes with... Here are the different flavors you get with a Fanta. Orange, berry, grape, strawberry, pina colada, mm-hmm. and pineapple.
Pineapple and strawberry were the two that I would see.
But I don't feel like I ever reached for those too much.
No.
So the other two things that I have here, Fred. I'm sorry. I have one last thing. And this is a household staple now. This is Topo Chico.
Topo Chico. Don't you...
¿Qué quieres, Topo Chico?
That's nice.
So I do have, though, a specialized lime version. I think usually it's just a normal, like, tonic water. Like, sparkling water. But Topo Chico is something that I feel like it's kind of taken off over the last few years. There's an alcoholic version now. Whether or not people were asking for that or not, comes in a few different flavors. We get a variety pack sometimes from Costco that has, like, grape and... maybe it doesn't include grape? I'm not sure anymore. I'm second-guessing all my flavors.
I've only had lime, hard, and regular.
Mm. Well, lime is the flavor we are tasting today, which is... Listen to all that bubbling.
That's a lot of effervescence.
Yes.
I hope I'm using that word correctly.
I thought at first you said evanescence, like the band.
This drink really brings me to life.
Coca-Cola really should be paying us right now for all this free advertising.
Drink me up inside.
Drink me up inside. But I do like a Topo Chico. It's becoming my sparkling water of choice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
It's a good lime mm-hmm. in here. I like the flavor like of a lime Topo Chico. Topo Chico, like the plain, I'm hit or miss with.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think there's still lime in regular Topo Chico, isn't there? Like a little bit.
Yeah, I think there might be a hint of lime or something.
But it's not like this. This is like very strong.
I'll have to look that up though too. But I think, yeah, the standard Topo Chico. So yeah, the three flavors you can now get, they have like a tangerine, a blueberry is what I was thinking, and a lime, which, yeah, it sounds a little, I don't know. But I think it really was just like a mineral water. It's like the standard Topo mm-hmm. Chico. It didn't have any like hint of lime or anything like that.
I'm a San Pellegrino guy.
Oh,
I like that straight Italian water. That's what I try to drink during the week.
Very Polly Walnuts of you.
Thank you.
I feel like, I don't know. That's just, San Pellegrino is good. I mean, it's just...
It is fancy, and I usually only get it when it's on sale, but I like it because it also simulates. It gives me that brain high of when I just want that after beer work.
Mm-hmm.
I can, like, go to the fridge, drink, like, half of a San Pellegrino, and it's, like, almost that hops feeling, and that's just as nice because I'm like, oh, I didn't have any alcohol, and I just drank zero calories, so I can feel good about this.
I mean, I think sparkling water in general is just a really nice option when you don't want something that's going to pack a punch like a soda, right? But it does have that bubbling feeling for you. Fred, I know you have one last thing for us in that cooler.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to let you introduce this piece.
So do you have a little bit of Coke in your can?
I do.
Cool. Because I think we should try to have you do this blind.
Okay.
I brought a baby can of Pepsi.
Because
I think a big thing of Coke is the Coke-Pepsi thing, the Pepsi Challenge, which apparently they were touting was better. Now, one thing that you will notice about the baby Pepsi... You turn around to look at the calories. 10 more calories.
Ooh.
I don't like that.
That's a tough sell.
Hey.
So, okay.
Give that to me.
All right.
Close your eyes.
Okay. Pour yourself a little bit in your cup if you want a little Pepsi, too.
Here, I'm going to make sure I get all the lime Topo Chico out first.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a little taste test here. I'm going to... close my eyes and have Fred hand me a can.
Because I just realized if I give you the full Pepsi, you're going to know. So I have to kind of Indiana Jones it so they're kind of the same.
Do you want me to tell you which I think it is or which one I like better?
Both.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to get this. I'm doing this legit. I'm just closing my eyes.
All right. Reach out your hand. I will put it in your hand.
Okay. I'm reaching out right now. All right. I'm going to find the spout on here. Hopefully you're done drinking that Pepsi. Okay. I think that one's the Pepsi is my guess. I'll take the other. Here's the other one.
Yeah, don't put that on your phone.
I'm trying not to. I'm doing all this blind right now. Oh, crap. Wait.
He's reaching back for the first can for a second appraisal.
Oh, shit. Oh, wait a minute.
He's going back to the second can for yet another appraisal. He's smelling the second can. He's smelling the first can.
Okay. So I've got each can in each of my hands right now. I hope I'm close to the microphone. Oh, I think I'm a little too close to the microphone. I believe, Fred, the first one that's in my right hand currently, I believe this is... Let me do one more test. Taste. That one's Coca-Cola. This one's Pepsi in my left hand, number two.
And which one do you like better?
I think I actually like number two.
Well, you were right. The Pepsi was in the first hand, or in the second hand. The Coke was in the first. So you guessed right, and the one you like the most is the Pepsi.
I will say, surprisingly, tasted way more similar than I thought they were going to.
Yep, that's what I always hear. When you take away the visual of the aesthetics of the red and the blue and your preconceived notion, I think they're pretty similar products. But if you were to put either in my hand, I think I would be able to guess.
I know. I'm kind of sad you didn't bring a second Pepsi because I would have loved to test you. But I know in the sake of time, we should probably move on and get into a little bit more of our Show Me the Franchise, which I have a great transition point to go from talking about the Coke products, because not only does Coke, having gone and purchased a lot of different brands, so we just kind of ran down that list, right? Sprite, Minute Maid, Fanta, Dasani, Topo Chico, Powerade, Schweppes, Vitamin Water. Like, there's so many different things. But Coke itself comes in so many different varieties, like Coca-Cola, that mm-hmm. is. You have Diet Coke, caffeine-free Coca-Cola. Diet Coke was first introduced in 1983. Caffeine-free Coca-Cola in 1983. Coca-Cola Cherry in 1985. New Coke, which was an unpopular formula change after the formula quickly returned and was later rebranded as Coca-Cola 2 until its discontinuation in 2002. Did you ever hear of Coca-Cola 2?
I did, but I always thought that was before my time.
Yeah, I'm going to run down the rest of this list here. So this is, because now we're getting into like 2001. This is really when they really went crazy. So that was like their first branding. They wanted like cherry. I thought there was like a Vanilla Coke, though, that they did.
Vanilla Coke was like 2003, 2004.
So am I not thinking?
Whenever Science came out.
Was Coke Zero then? Yeah, so that was later, too. Okay, so let me just run through it. We had Golden Coca-Cola, which was a limited edition produced by the Beijing Coca-Cola Company. I'm not certain, based on the details here, if that was anything different. Coca-Cola Vanilla was 2002. Coca-Cola C2, Coca-Cola with lime, Coca-Cola with lemon, Coca-Cola raspberry, Coca-Cola Zero, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, Coca-Cola Citra, Coca-Cola Black, Cherry Vanilla. I didn't realize it was two lines at first. Coca-Cola Black, Cherry Vanilla. Coca-Cola Black, which is Coca-Cola with a rich coffee flavor. So the formula is, depends on the country, but it's first sold in France. So I've never had that, but that sounds interesting.
No, there was like a Pepsi version, but I didn't know about the Coke version.
So it should be clear that a lot of these are not all available in America. Like the Coca-Cola Citra is a Mexican flavor mm-hmm. and New Zealand, which is more of a lemon lime. So it kind of sounded like a Sprite. You have Coca-Cola Orange, Coca-Cola Life, which was Coca-Cola with stevia and sugar sweetener.
Yeah, Splenda was like working with them. Stevia were getting in there for a while. I remember getting Diet Coke.
Thank you.
Diet Coke with a lemon with the Splenda little logo on it, which was not bad.
Never, yeah, I just never tried it. Coca-Cola Ginger.
Could be good.
Coca-Cola Fiber Plus, which is a dietary variant of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola with coffee. So that one is one that was made originally in Japan, but has made its way to America since then in January 2021. But I still don't feel like I've seen Coca-Cola with any type of coffee flavoring. And I'm very curious. Coca-Cola Peach. Coca-Cola Georgia Peach.
Georgia Peach.
That's actually made with cane sugar, though. And then you have Coca-Cola California Raspberry. Coca-Cola Orange Vanilla, Coca-Cola Energy, which is an energy drink with a flavor similar to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola Signature Mixers, so that was the Jack Daniels version.
Right.
Coca-Cola Apple, Coca-Cola Cinnamon, Coca-Cola Strawberry Vanilla. All right, that's Cherry Vanilla, I'm sorry, and not Black Cherry Vanilla. This one's just Cherry Vanilla. Coca-Cola Energy Cherry, Coca-Cola Creations, which was the Coca-Cola Starlight and Coca-Cola Ultimate?
Yeah, I remember those.
That was a couple of years ago. Oh, but then you did have Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. So that mixer one was just different types of alcohol in there. And then you had Coca-Cola Spiced, which is their 2024 newest version, which is with a raspberry and spiced flavoring.
I don't want that raspberry in there.
I don't need raspberry in there either.
I like the idea of a spiced Coke. It's kind of a throwback to the holidays. Give me like some cinnamon, nutmeggy kind of warm flavors. I might get into that, but I don't like raspberry. I don't like raspberry flavor unless it's like candy.
Yeah, I don't like any of that. I'm not on board with it. So, I mean, that's a lot of different flavors of Coke. And obviously not all in North America. I made that clear, but I think it's just interesting to see that they are so widespread. People are thinking all these different countries are trying to do different varieties of Coke. Is there anything, though, that you, if you want to show me the franchise now, Fred, have been wanting to see a flavor of Coke? I know you're just talking about your little spice concoction.
I think that would be good. I think for me, I just want them to keep working on a zero sugar Coke that tastes like regular Coke, because I think they've gotten pretty close. That's something that we just didn't have the bubble room to try any of the Diet Coke varietals. But I think the Coke Zero is getting pretty close to what a Coke tastes like. It's a different flavor from Diet Coke. Like, it's a totally different flavor profile. And it's interesting because now there's Diet Coke people and there's Coke Zero people or zero sugar people.
Where do you fall?
Depends. If I want a Coke substitute, I want zero sugar Coke. If I want a Diet Coke, I want Diet Coke. It's kind of its own thing versus zero sugar Coke is now the substitute.
Yeah. That's actually a really good way to put it. And I think that's where I follow too, is that a Diet Coke is a very specific flavor. Where, yeah, Coke Zero is at least, it's Coca-Cola. That's like, okay, I want a diet-friendly Coke, which is funny that it's not Diet Coke.
Right. And then they got to get those Coke machines working.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, our soda days are more numbered as we get older. I just want to be able to do that touchscreen thing and it be good.
It is kind of weird looking at vending machines now, and they are just all over the place. Even at the movie theater, I'm like, what am I doing with all this? There's so many menus to flip through just to get to, like, all I want is a raspberry iced tea. Like, just give me a raspberry iced tea.
Yeah, it's always just a bummer, though, when you get just, like, a bad fountain soda, because you're, like, putting in the calories, especially if you go see a movie, you're sitting there, and you have this, like, flat, disgusting soda, and you're, like, still drinking it because that's what you brought with you in the theater. Right. It's just, like, all bad.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, I can't think of a flavor, though. It's funny, though. I remember I was really into vanilla Coke, but you know what's really good? Vanilla Pepsi.
Oh?
A vanilla Pepsi is pretty good. I will say that Pepsi tasted more reminiscent of the Mexican Coke. Like, try that Mexican Coke right now that you just tried that Pepsi.
Well, I still have some I can pour in there. I have not put my lips on them. You like a little splash yourself, my friend.
Splash there.
I gotta save a little bit for my wife. I know she will be mad if I do not
Well, sure. We'll just put all these half-drunken bottles in front of her and say, there you go.
Here, go nuts.
Our mouths haven't been on any of these.
Yeah, no, it's true, though.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's almost like a better artificial sugar in the Pepsi, unless maybe Pepsi's using real sugar. I doubt it.
No, can't be.
Maybe just because they got a little more.
No, high fructose corn syrup on both. I gotta think it's something that has to do with, I'm looking at both of the ingredients, but what's tough is that, this is something else I didn't get into with the history, is that the syrup recipe is like a well-guarded secret. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they have to put like what's kind of in it, but there's still certain things I don't think are quite public knowledge.
And that's also, it's one side to keep the product secure and their own, but also that's another marketing ploy that works great. It causes interest in the product because they did this whole thing where the guy who put it, the recipe in his bank that he owned, which is now like SunTrust Bank in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's in this vault and it's got all the security. It was very heavily reported when they moved the recipe via train. It was covered and he hired security. So it was this whole event, you know, so people are asking questions. What is this Coke recipe?
Yeah.
You know, it's just good marketing.
It is. You know what would be really good, though? And I hope Coke doesn't steal this idea. So, because I just kind of thought about this, too, as we were just talking back and forth, like, oh, we don't know what's all in this stuff. But we know that Coke is basically probably the same recipe, except for probably certain flavorings, right? And I know I was, like, very interested. I'm like, wow, a lemon-lime Coke. I thought Coke with lime was a thing already, but maybe there's not quite the same version. Because I was like, oh, I would love a Coke with lime, because I think a Coke with lime is really good. I'm mm-hmm. kind of shocked that it's like not a regular thing that people have like drinking in mass. But you have something like Mio, right? Where you can do like a little dropper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost surprised, or if they're not already working on this, of like, here's Coca-Cola. Here's a little dropper of flavoring. You can add your own flavor. You want Coca-Cola vanilla or Coke vanilla Coke? Here's like a vanilla dropper you can put in there. Maybe you get a pack, though, that comes with all these Coca-Cola compatible like flavoring syrups that you can add to it.
Kind of like the popcorn seasoning, but for Coke.
Yes.
I like that.
So then you could have like a lime one, a vanilla one, an orange one, a cherry one, right? So you can have cherry Coke or whatever you want. Or maybe there's even a fun one that's like, this is Diet Coke. I don't know how you would do it, but.
But I that's basically the practice of what a freestyle machine is doing in there. It's just adding like a squirt of flavor, so they already believe that these flavors work with their products. So it would be nice if they kind of, I would love to have a, as a gift, like in a stocking stuffer, like you pull out this thing, it's got five flavors that you can squeeze into your Coke and make it a different type of Coke.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it could be very interesting. But I also like, yeah, making like the perfect Coke Zero. Big fan of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get into our power rankings, Fred?
I am down.
All right. Our power rankings this week. Top three Coke products. Now, we're going to leave the board open. That can either be a variety of Coke, or it can be a separate Coke brand like Topo Chico or Pepsi. Or Pepsi.
My number one Coke is Pepsi.
Coke is Pepsi. Or, I mean, like Fanta or Sprite, mm-hmm. whatever. So, where do you fall? Do you want to kick off?
I'm pretty easy. I think I would put, like, Cherry Coke number three. Mm-hmm. Again, I kind of prefer Wild Cherry Pepsi over a Cherry Coke, but I love a Cherry Coke. Then I would follow it up with Vanilla Coke. That's not anything I've gotten in years, but when that came out, I just remember loving that.
Mm-hmm.
And then number one, I'm just going to go with the classic Coke, either a mini can or from McDonald's. So I'm going to be specific in that way. I want a little can because when I get through the half of that big can, I'm not happy. If I'm getting it in a fountain, I'll be very happy. So just very basic, but those are the three things I like.
Those are very good picks, I think. I am going to counter then. One. I will agree with you on Cherry Coke. I think Cherry Coke is wonderful. That's going to be my number three as well, just to keep us aligned, because we're going to split from there. I do think, I was a Sprite kid. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm abandoning Sprite. Maybe it was the fact that I just kind of had a recency bias here. I kind of feel like, though, I don't know, classic Coke number two.
Ooh.
Might be about right. And then here's where the big curveball comes. I want to go Diet Coke number one.
Wow.
A lot of people give me looks, but you called it out. It's a different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I grew up drinking a lot of Diet Coke. My mom bought it all the time. And just, that's my preferred Coke.
When a Diet Coke is good, a Diet Coke is good.
A Diet Coke, especially if you do get it from McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
I was very close to not putting Coca-Cola itself in there, but honestly, these Coke kind of hit tonight. I think I flipped. I was ready to kind of go Sprite 3, Cherry Coke 2, and then, well, you know, and Topo Chico. I should say, I do like Topo Chico. I just can't put a sparkly, like, if I'm going to be a bad boy and drink a soda.
Yeah, this is the bad boy podcast. You can't put mineral water in there.
Topo Chico's my everyday.
Yeah.
And Barks used to also be my root beer, too, but there's just too many good varieties of root
beer. For where we live, especially.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not number one. It's not.
But
close.
For, like, your baseline getting at the store root beer, I think it is the best of your mug and A&W.
Yeah, I think it's definitely got something to it. It's just, I don't know. I think Coca-Cola, it's a classic. I mean, that's why you have Coca-Cola Classic is always the one. That's my ad, man. That's the one I remember from the 90s. They play it at our local theater. Like, do-do-do-do-do, always Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it definitely gets you, like, up and moving a little bit. You're like, oh yeah, it's time for Coke. Get me back to the soda machine in the lobby. But, yeah, I think we've said a lot about Coke. I think it's good. Pepsi, the Pepsi episode might be interesting. And now I'm kind of like, I think I'm sold that we might have to do an individual one for a Pepsi.
We got to do like a vanilla Pepsi and a vanilla Coke challenge. That'd be curious. And a cherry Coke and wild cherry Coke.
That sounds like a food tournament potentially in the future, Fred, which is a great time for us to say we're at the end of our episode today, but that we will be back with maybe a food tournament here pretty soon. TBD topic, though, for that one. Fred, anything you would like to plug before we go?
Just keep listening to the podcast. Check out the Cheers episode if you haven't yet. I think that's a good one. And have a wonderful holiday.
That is lovely words, yes. And I hope everybody does have a great holiday. We will be back soon. So you can join our Patreon now for just $1 a month. That gets exclusive content every single month. Please remember to rate and review this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, X for now, and YouTube. Want to give a special thanks to Nick Spitzer and Mike Schwantz for doing our opening and closing theme songs. I don't call those two out enough. I finally wrote a script, Fred, after about 50-some episodes. And I'm like, I should probably remember to say some things. And we will be back very soon with our food draft. So we will see you next time.
Don't listen to that one. Hungry.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry, not our food draft. That will be our food tournament. We'll be doing our annual food tournament coming up here very soon.
I would say be well fed for either of them.
Either way, yeah. Don't listen to those hungry.
Guys, listen to your podcast on empty stomach. What are you doing?
Grab a soda, grab a snack, enjoy yourself. We'll see you then. All I want to do is charge my phone, drive, listen into you. And what they talk to you about will unfold.